You know, friends, 500 years ago, we had a Reformation. Martin Luther nailed his theses to the door. Somebody had enough sense to pull it down and put it on a printing press and spread it all over Europe. It's time for another Reformation. We need a new Reformation. 500 years later, it's time for another Reformation. But this Reformation will be different. The first Reformation was about belief. This one needs to be about behavior. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
Well, that's Pastor Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, talking about the need for what he calls a new Reformation. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're broadcasting live tonight, this Sunday, July the 22nd, from St. John's Lutheran Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota, day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation tour here in the Twin Cities. Those of you listening to us on 980 KKMS in the Twin Cities, you can come out to St. John's Lutheran Church. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. Rick Warren says we need a new Reformation, and many people believe it's true. They think that the first one dealt with faith, salvation, and that the second one needs to deal with deeds, with behavior, with the Christian life. You see the most popular preachers out there, and what they preach on Sunday morning is principles for living, rules for living, how to live the Christian life, how to be a Christian, this or that. Do Christians still need to hear the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection for us sinners? Now, we want to hear from you on the issue of salvation and good works tonight. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. And you can email us here in our makeshift studio at St. John's Lutheran Church in Maple Grove, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Listeners with the best questions or comments tonight will get the book, The Fire and the Staff, by our guest, Pastor Clement Preuss. 1-800-730-2727 or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Clement Preuss is our guest tonight. He's pastor of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and he's author of the book, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice. Clem, welcome back to Issues Etc. Nice to be here. First of all, react to what we heard Rick Warren say, this call for a new Reformation, not of creeds, but of deeds.
Well, he's not the first one to suggest that. That's what many among American Protestants have been saying for the last 150 years. And it's unfortunate that that old mantra continues to be sung. I would say that every false religion in the history of the world stresses our deeds rather than the deeds of God for us. Whether we're talking about Hinduism or Islam or the Pharisees at Jesus' time or the Roman Church at the time of Luther, all had this in common. They emphasized what we do. And the Christian message is what God does. It is deeds, the deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us through his life and his death and his resurrection. That's what the church needs to emphasize, and not how we live our lives, which is really rather insignificant in the big picture.
You mentioned the time of the Reformation. Explain something. Luther called the doctrine of justification not only the central teaching of Scripture, that a man is justified by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. He called this the doctrine upon which the church either stands or falls. What did Luther mean?
Well, I think he meant that at a level of an individual Christian, and then also at the level of the entire church. A Christian will fall and lose his faith or her faith if they do not trust that Jesus Christ alone, through his death on the cross and his justification, his forgiveness of sins, is what matters to them. Not only will the individual Christian lose their faith if they deny that, but a church will lose its identity and lose its vibrancy and cease to exist as Christ's church if that church should stop teaching as its main emphasis that we are justified freely by God's grace for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior.
So it is, in fact, for Luther and for you, I assume, also, kind of the sine qua non, the without which you cannot do doctrine of the church.
Right. You can't even begin to do theology or doctrine or be a Christian without that faith that Jesus alone justifies us, and it has nothing to do with our behavior.
Where do we look first and foremost in Scripture, Pastor Preuss, to find this doctrine of justification of the sinner before God, for Christ's sake alone?
I've been teaching a Bible class in my church on the parables of Christ, and last Sunday we looked at the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee had all these works, all of his deeds, to commend him, and he pointed them out to anybody who within shouting distance. But the publican stood in the corner of the temple and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." That means, "God, stop being angry with me. Please forgive me." And Jesus concluded the parable by saying, this man, the publican, the one with all the sins, went home to his house justified. And so in Jesus' parables, in this very memorable and passionate parable, he teaches us that the one with all the good works has nothing, and the one with Jesus has everything. And that's his wonderful way of teaching us that we are justified and get to go home to our houses justified because Jesus Christ has done everything for us.
Now, someone's going to say, "I'm with you." Okay, you're talking about the pure gospel, but that's evangelism. That's what the church preaches to unbelievers to make them Christians. But once we have them as Christians, Christians need to hear about the Christian life. We need to emphasize what the Christian life looks like to them. They don't need to hear that message of salvation over and over again. That's redundant.
These aren't the kind of Christians I know. The kind of Christians I know, like me, sin every day and every hour, and we need to hear every chance we can that God forgives us freely for Jesus' sake. Now, of course, Christians also need to be informed of what God's will is for their life and the Christian life. That's obviously not something that you ignore. But the suggestion that we should ignore the doctrine of justification once you become a Christian would suggest that Christians never sin again. And every Christian sins every day. That's what we are, sinners. This publican in the parable was of the household of God. He was a Jewish person. He was of God's people. And yet he found himself in desperate need of the forgiveness of sins.
So for the publican in the parable who says, "God be merciful to me, the sinner," this isn't Jesus telling the story of this guy's conversion experience. This is who he is before God every time he approaches God's house.
Right. I would think it would be bizarre if the publican went home and said, "Well, I got that taken care of. That was difficult, but now I can go on and never have to hear about the forgiveness of sins ever again." I don't think the parable teaches that at all. It's something that this publican, and every one of us is a publican, we all need to hear that we're justified freely by God's grace.
Before we go to this break, but just a minute or two here, where do we go first in Scripture to find passages on good works, the proper understanding of Christian good works? Where would you go in Scripture?
I might go to Romans. It's a wonderful book, and he tells us, Paul in the book of Romans tells us how sinful we are in the first two or three chapters. Then he tells us in chapters 3, 4, 5, 6 that we're justified freely by his grace. And then he uses the first imperative in the entire book in chapter 6 where he says, "Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ." The beginning of good works is to build on the confidence that we are accepted by God freely for Christ's sake, and then to consider ourselves dead to our former way of life and dead to all the old habits we used to have and that still encroach upon us, and alive to Jesus Christ. So most of Paul's writings start with the gospel of justification and then move on to the Christian life. Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, they all do that.
So is it a safe assumption that when St. Paul writes this way, as he consistently does, as you point out, he intends for the Christian life to be built upon the clear proclamation of the forgiveness of sins and the justification of the sinner, and never to be a separate subject unto itself?
That's exactly right. I couldn't say it better, Todd.
We're talking with Pastor Clement Preuss. Well, you better say it better. You're the guest tonight. He's pastor of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and he's author of the book, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology and Practice. Now, the best callers and emailers tonight will get a copy of this book, The Fire and the Staff. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's Sunday night, July the 22nd. We're coming to you live. Let's hear from you on salvation and good works. Do you agree or disagree with what you've heard so far? Do Christians need to hear the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, every Sunday in every sermon, or should we talk more about those principles for living? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Do you think Christians need to hear Jesus for sinners more often, or do they need to hear how to live the Christian life? Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org is our in-studio email address. We're coming to you live this Sunday night from St. John's Lutheran Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota. When we come back, we're going to talk about the danger of confusing salvation and good works.
Do in times like this is pay close attention and recognize in it God's alien work to drive us to Jesus.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on what Christians should know during times of disaster.
We should rejoice over our relationship with Christ, over our relationship with our family. We should speak forgiveness to those whom we have sinned against and those who have sinned against us. We should be quick to think about eternal things and not the ridiculous things that ball us up and bog us down, which are necessary for life, but rejoice in the eternal verities which sustain us.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
And when I think of all my screen, yeah.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Next week on the program, we're going to be discussing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Dr. Richard Stuckwish of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing for the rest of the summer, you can check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the homepage, be sure to find out about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's called The Real Story of Creation. It's a children's book written by popular author, historian, Christian apologist, Dr. Paul Meyer. The Real Story of Creation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or just look for the cover of The Real Story of Creation at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Clement Preuss is our guest. We're talking about salvation and good works. Pastor Preuss, someone says, look, if you want good works out of Christians, it's very simple. You just tell them the do's and the don'ts, and that will produce good works. Is that right? That's the conventional wisdom.
Well, God tried that when he gave the Ten Commandments under Mount Sinai, and it didn't work particularly well back then. The Jewish people were known a lot more for their rebellion than they were for their faithfulness, and that's why God had to send his son Jesus Christ, because the do's and the don'ts, no matter how hard you push them and then no matter how articulate you try to explain them, we can't do it. That's the whole point of God's law on Mount Sinai. that we simply cannot comply with the do's and the don'ts of God. And somebody had to do that in our place and give us credit for what they did. And that would be our Lord Jesus Christ. So the doctrine of justification is based upon the idea that we can't make our way to heaven by following the principles of Christianity or anything else. It's simply trusting that Jesus has done it for us.
So what does produce genuine good works in the Christian?
The gospel, the sacraments. When Christians hear that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them, that message changes them. Not only does it forgive their sins, but it also creates faith in them, and faith always has a desire to please God and to want to live for God. Now, obviously, we don't do so perfectly, but we can't even begin to live with God until God creates in us that heart and that desire to please Him. And that's what the gospel of forgiveness and justification does.
I have heard people say, and I think it's probably a commonly held idea, that if you overemphasize or emphasize even a little too much the forgiveness of sins, the free gift of salvation, that Jesus did it all, what you're going to produce is fat, lazy Christians. How do you respond to that?
I think the alternative would be no Christians at all. And I think God would rather have fat, lazy Christians in heaven than have the place completely empty. I think that every Christian is fat and lazy to some extent. I mean, I have a radio audience here, and I see a lot of fat, lazy people as Christians.
Not trying to win the audience's approval.
Well, Luther said that we are at the same time sinner and saint. Sinner would be roughly the equivalent of fat and lazy. And the solution to being a sinner is not to be told to stop and quit being so fat and lazy. The solution is to be forgiven of your sins. When I know that I'm forgiven and that I stand before God as righteous and that I am His Son in Jesus Christ, that's the only motivation there is for me to want to please God with my life. And you can tell me the do's and the don'ts. I've known them since I was a kid. What motivates me is the love of God. The love of Christ constrains me. That's what John said.
What's the danger of confusing these two things that we've discussed briefly so far? The clear teaching of Scripture on salvation and the clear teaching of Scripture on good works. What's the danger of mixing the two together?
Well, if you mix the two together, you run two risks. One risk would be that people might start to think that they actually get to heaven by their good works, and that's a dangerous thing. And the other danger would be that people might believe that they don't have to think at all about Jesus Christ, that they can completely ignore His will and just be those fat, lazy Christians, I suppose, that people may deplore. And both of those dangers are real, and both of us, I mean, all of us Christians have probably been tempted one way or the other. So we hold that kind of a middle ground that while we are not justified by our works, we certainly do good works, or rather God produces those good works in us when He also produces a heart of faith in us.
All right. Let's go back again to something you mentioned earlier, the Reformation, because Warren himself said in that little soundbite, the first Reformation was about belief, and I take it that he thought that was kind of a good thing, but he thinks something was left undone there. What was the confusion of salvation and good works that Luther was attempting to correct in the so-called first Reformation?
At the time of Luther, the Roman Church certainly thought that belief was important. They simply defined the word incorrectly. They thought that faith was pretty much faithfully following the rules of the church. And so if you faithfully followed the church rules, then God approved you. That's why He never fully approved you, because you never fully followed these rules. Today, if someone says that we need something different, I would seriously worry that we would fall back into pretty much the same thing that Luther discovered, and that would be people who believe they get to heaven because of their faithfully following God's rules, and it's because of what Jesus did.
It sounds, I mean, I know you're talking about medieval Roman Catholicism, but it sounds an awful lot like pop American Christianity, what you just described there. This faith is, in fact, following the rules.
Well, there's an incredible similarity between medieval Roman Catholicism and American evangelicalism. Both, I know they hate each other, which is always wrong, but they at the same time, they're very similar. Both groups believe that salvation is somewhat of a process, which we are in the center of, and it depends to some extent on what we do. And at the time of Luther, he simply put the brakes on that and said, no, it is a verdict which God pronounces upon us. And today, when you speak to American evangelicals and say that your justification is a verdict where God counts to your credit everything that Christ has done, it's at best, okay, that's true, but we need something more important to that, or it's question. And there's a great deal of similarity. That's why I think that Luther's doctrine is so applicable today, because it speaks to what many people are thinking today as well.
So the medieval Roman Church, they taught probation rather than salvation. Is that what Pop American Evangelicalism is doing in many sectors too? 30 seconds.
I think it does do that. We're on probation from God until we fly right. You see this actually in the way the show started tonight, with Rick Warren's statement that we need to have deeds. When I hear that, I feel like I'm going to be all of a sudden scrutinized, and can I get a better deal, and all, I'm going to be back on probation again. And that is something we need to steer clear of. People will lose their faith if they think they're going to be put on probation by God.
When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation with Pastor Clement Preuss on salvation and good works. It's Sunday night, July the 22nd. Your phone calls and your email after the break are call-in number 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. We're broadcasting live from St. John's Lutheran Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour to the Twin Cities, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And to the best callers and emailers, we're giving away the book, The Fire and the Staff, by Pastor Clement Preuss. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Clement Preuss is pastor of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. The book, his book that we're giving away tonight to the best callers, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice. When we come back halfway through the program, we're going to talk a bit more about this notion of salvation as probation. I imagine a lot of Christians are wondering, golly, I know I'm saved, I know that Jesus did it all, but I still have this niggling sense that I have to do something, and that if I don't, perhaps my salvation isn't as certain as it could be. I've even heard preachers say that somehow we make our salvation more certain. Not that it isn't certain to begin with, but we make it more certain by living this Christian life. Could there be anything more certain than the life that Jesus lived for you and for me in our place? We'll find out after this.
You'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, which is titled The Real Story of Creation, at two locations in St. Louis, 3558 South Jefferson, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Popular author and historian Dr. Paul Meyer is the author of this new children's book, The Real Story of Creation, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, The Real Story of Creation.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you for letting me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Call today.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here is Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Step by step, one by one, higher and higher. Step by step, run by run, trying to get better.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is entirely listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation, the expansion, the outreach of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Christ-centered, cross-focused messages like you're hearing tonight on Issues Etc., consider joining our monthly or annual donor program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out the benefits of becoming a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, or a patron. We have premiums like monthly CDs, books, and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, we need the support of each and every one of you, our listeners, whether you listen live on your local radio station or on the internet or on demand on your PC, your iPod, your MP3 player. Stand with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. Pastor Clement Preuss is our guest. We're talking about salvation and good works. And we got questions from the audience and phone and email. But one question for you before we go to that. For whom does the Christian do his good works? Does the Christian do his good works for God?
Well, his good works please God, but God, the cattle on a thousand hills are God's. I mean, he doesn't need our good works to get by. Who needs our good works is our neighbor, our husbands, our wives, our kids. Those are the people who crave our love and our affection, and the person who lives across the street from us. They're the ones who need our good works. The people who need a special care and mercy, those are the needy ones. I'm one of those periodically, and I need good works. And when we show good works to others, we're doing that unto Christ.
And a question from our audience. What's your name, and where are you from?
I'm Daniel. I'm from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. I've got an observation here from John 14. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." He does not say some of my commands or most of my commands. He says my commands. Nothing short of perfection, just to simply love God, much less save ourselves.
Right. All right, Clem, your thoughts there.
Well, that passage, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is the English translation. I think maybe another way of saying it would be, if you love me, you will guard my word. You will hold that word as close to me as possible. And that word is obviously the commands, but it's also the word of forgiveness. Basically, he's saying that those who know Jesus Christ and have come to love him through the gospel will treasure everything God says and hold it as close as they possibly can.
This puts me in kind of a catch-22, that passage, because if I look at the passage honestly, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus obviously God demands perfect obedience. Well, that's not me. I don't love Jesus the way that if the commandment is the measure. So I'm left in this position of saying, I don't love God the way I should. I need someone who does love God the way I should to do it for me.
And that's where Christ comes in, obviously. Christ is the one who did keep God's commands. He's the one who loved fully and completely. And the doctrine of justification, the teaching of salvation, is that he counts that to my credit, and I receive that through faith. And then anything I do, it doesn't add anything to it. It's simply a living out of that in my life, what God has given to me in Christ.
Mark in Columbia, Illinois, just miles north of my hometown, writes this: I'd like to thank the Reverend Preuss for taking the time to write the book, The Fire on the Staff, and highly recommend the book to both pastors and lay people. I also want to thank Issues Etc. for promoting the book. In The Fire on the Staff, Pastor Preuss discusses the theology of the cross. I would like Pastor Preuss also to comment on theses 3 and 4 from Luther's Heidelberg Disputation, and he provides them here. You don't have to have it memorized, Clem. Although the works of man always appear attractive and good, they are nevertheless likely to be mortal sins, and although the works of God always seem unattractive and appear evil, they are nevertheless really eternal merits. Mark says, please contrast a theologian of glory versus a theologian of the cross. How might our good works actually drive us away from Jesus and the cross?
That's a good question, and I think that's a question that deserves a good answer, so here we go. When people do good things, of course, they're admired by others. And you run the risk, if you're a particularly good person, that you will begin to think that you actually deserve the praise and adulation of everybody. And that focuses in on what you're doing and how good you are. And Luther says of that, this may actually be a mortal sin. You become self-righteous when you start focusing on how well you behave. Whereas the works of Christ, what are they? Being born in a stable, losing all your friends because you preach a tough sermon in John 6, being killed, having all of your friends run away and your enemies ultimately triumph over you. And yet those actions of Christ, which seem insignificant and seem to be defeat, are really the very works of God which justify us and make us his.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Travis in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, listens on WGNV. Travis, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much for having me on. I can't even believe that this has to be an issue. It's got to be Christ first. The thing is, if you focus too much on works, you know, and you take out the Christ died for salvation, people remember things by repetition. And if you start taking that out, the devil will use it one inch at a time, and eventually you'll be like, we don't really need to worry about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, as long as I did the further away you get from the message. I think that's a danger, long-term danger you eventually run into, you know.
Travis, thank you very much. It's a good thought. Your thoughts there, Pastor?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, he's brought the devil into the picture. What the devil wants, obviously he wants us to sin, but he's much more delighted if we start thinking that our good works actually accomplish something and focus on ourselves. What the devil wants is to distract us from the cross. That's what he did to Jesus his whole ministry. When Peter said to Jesus, don't go to the cross, Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. The caller, Travis, understands perfectly well that the devil does not want us to hear what you're speaking on this show.
So the devil doesn't mind if we hear principles for living, rules for living, how to be a good father, a good mother?
No, he thinks that's perfectly all right. That's what we quoted to Jesus in the wilderness. He wants us to believe that we get to heaven by these principles. And he'll quote anybody as long as it gets us away from trusting in the grace of Christ through the cross.
Another listener here at St. John's with a question. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Virgil Rose. I'm from Anoka, Minnesota. Each of you talked about evangelical earlier, and would you give me some quick difference between evangelical Lutheran and the evangelical you were talking about previously?
Okay, now, a lot of Lutherans originally called themselves evangelicals, and a lot of Lutheran churches, the one that I attended my whole life, had the name Evangelical Lutheran. What's the difference here between that evangelical and the evangelical we'll talk about in Pop American Evangelicalism?
When Luther was alive, he wanted the Lutherans, as they ultimately were called, he wanted them to be called evangelical. And it is the word evangelical is a Bible word. It simply means good news centered, gospel centered. When Christianity came to America, the Protestant movement of America and revivalism gradually became known as American evangelicalism. It's the label we put upon it. And I think that most often when you speak the word evangelical, that's what people think you're referring to. So if you talk about St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Maple Grove, Minnesota, we have to make sure that this isn't some hybrid between Lutheran and Protestant, but it is a gospel-centered Lutheran church, as all the Lutheran churches were initially called.
If someone does their good works either out of fear of divine punishment or in hope of divine reward, either here or in the life thereafter, are those good works?
Well, they may appear good to us, and we may evaluate them good, but that, to God, they're not good at all. An illustration you might use is if I did something against my wife, which is a fairly regular occurrence, and if I said to her, here's a dozen roses, this ought to make things right between us, she would throw the roses in the garbage because I'm trying to buy her affection back. But if instead I reconciled to her by saying I'm sorry and then took her out to dinner and said, here's some red roses because I love you, well, she would cherish those and value those. Works done to placate God or to get him on our good side, he throws them in the garbage. He's got no use for those. But works done out of true faith because the love of Christ constrains us are very precious to our Lord.
Here's an email from Travis in Windsor, Colorado. He says, greetings, pastors. You're both great theologians of our age. Thanks for all you do. I'll hand that off to Clem. Please discuss our ability to judge our own good works as evidence of faith. So many times pop Christians today want to point to their own good works as evidence of their faith. And I think that's at the heart of the issue with many Christians today. But as soon as we try for good works, as he say, we taint them with sin. You got about 30 seconds to begin a response to Travis.
Well, I think there's something to that. When I know personally, when I evaluate my good works, I either evaluate them too highly and think that maybe they're a lot better than they truly are, or I think they're worthless. And actually, God values them highly if they're done out of faith. And so I think it's a good idea to try not to worry too much about our own good works or even the good works of others. Instead, trust in Jesus Christ, and God will produce those good works in us and let Him work that out.
Pastor Clement Price is our guest. We're talking about salvation and good works. We're anxious to hear from you on this subject as well. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us right here in the studio, just as Travis in Windsor, Colorado did a moment ago, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour from the Twin Cities. We're at St. John's Lutheran Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota, and we're taking your questions and your comments with Pastor Clement Preuss on salvation and good works, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, we've covered a lot of that. I'm wondering, when someone says, I'm hoping for my heavenly reward, is there a way of doing this without sin? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break.
Why do future pastors need to know the original biblical languages of Greek and Hebrew? Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Jeff Gibbs.
It's a lot of trouble. Why bother going through all that difficult learning? And the answer is easy and twofold. First, because the pastor as an under-shepherd feeds God's people with the nourishing food of His Word. And when you know Greek and Hebrew and study the Scriptures in depth, you can offer God's people the nourishment that they need. Second, the under-shepherd has to spot poisonous food. And by knowing the Scriptures that well through the study of the original languages, you can spot false teaching and harmful teaching and protect God's people from such teaching. These are the reasons why we study exegetical theology.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne or Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, look for their logos at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
One of your favorite guests is the author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. Dr. Paul Meyer has written a new children's book titled The Real Story of Creation. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt on our website at issuesetc.org. The Real Story of Creation costs $16.99 plus shipping and handling. The Real Story of Creation, 1-800-325-3040.
Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana invites you to join Issues Etc. regular guest Arthur Just, Larry Rast, and Carl Schalk for the Good Shepherd Institute, November 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. This annual conference equips laypeople, musicians, and pastors to better serve their congregations through music and the Word. For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2256.
There's a lady who's sure all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway.
You know, that's a lot of people think they're doing with their good works. They think they're climbing that stairway to heaven. And one of the errors we're trying to correct tonight on Issues Etc. with Pastor Clement Preuss. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by LCMS World Relief. LCMS World Relief is an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. For more information on all that they're doing around the world, check out our website, issuesetc.org. You can also donate to LCMS World Relief by calling them 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. Remember Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Let's talk with Bob in DeSoto, Texas. Bob, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for taking my call, Todd. I usually listen to you on Bible study, and this is my first time on this show, so I've kind of enjoyed listening in on the discussion so far. The comment that I have is that good works after justification, then good works are the primary goal of Christians. We know we're justified by Christ, but then we're supposed to do good works. And yet, Matthew 25 tells us that when the those who are saved are told that it's because of their good works, they say, "What good works? What did we do?" That seems to me that it's really telling us that our good works are not what we think they're good. The good works are; they are only those things which God sees as good works, and therefore for me to try to do good works is not possible.
Bob, thank you very much. What do you make of his reading of that famous sheep and goats parable that Jesus tells there in Matthew 25?
Well, it is noteworthy that they said, "When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry?" They seemed unaware of the things that they had done. And I think that is one of the characteristics of true Christian good works, that they are done so spontaneously. In fact, they're done in us by God, that we are often unaware of the things that we do that please God.
Another listener question here at St. John's. What's your name? Where are you from?
Stephen Briel, pastor here at St. John's, Maple
that's
Grove.
Nice. Thanks, Pastor.
And
by
that's
the way.
My brother-in-law. So I'm going to try to ask a question and put him on the spot. Not really. You mentioned earlier about the similarity between the evangelicals and the Roman Catholics. Doesn't this kind of show up in their view of the sacraments? Rome turned the Lord's Supper into a sacrifice, basically a good work of the church. What do the evangelicals do with baptism?
Pretty much the same. Yeah, the fact that's so insightful, they ought to have you on as a guest. In the Roman Church, the sacraments were performed primarily by the priests, and they were a good work which availed before God. So the sacraments were good works. The difference between the Roman Catholic Church at the time of Luther and the evangelical church today is that since evangelicals say we're not saved by those kind of good works, they don't value baptism particularly highly, but it still becomes a good work in their system. Now, baptism truly, in I think a true evangelical biblical theology, is one of the ways in which God speaks to us his forgiveness and says, I love you and I accept you and I count you righteous. So when a person is baptized, God is, through that action, speaking Christ's righteousness upon them, justifying them, saving them.
What's your name and where are you from?
Mike from Corcoran, Minnesota. And I just wanted to throw out a couple points here for your comment, Pastor Broyce. We do need law and gospel, I believe, in every Sunday and every sermon. And on the one hand, evangelicals are right in that we need to hear more about sin and law, because otherwise there's no point in needing a Savior. And so I'm sure that's why people don't like to be reminded about evangelicals and the law, because that reminds them of their sin and that they owe God something. But on the other hand, it seems like the evangelicals are just trying to take this Reformation in and of itself, try to save the earth, and they're kind of missing the focus, which is supposed to be for the hereafter and not just here. So I just thought I'd ask your comments.
All right, your comments.
Well, that is an insight about evangelicalism, which I hadn't fully thought through, but there may be something to that. I think we don't want to lose sight of the hereafter by focusing too much on the now. And the evangelical community, I think it does vary a little bit within it, sometimes does get a little bit too caught up in good works.
What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Josh Giefer, and I am from Maple Grove, Minnesota. I have a two-part question for you. In 1 Corinthians, it is written that whether we eat or drink, we do it all to the glory of God. So if we aren't, are we sinning?
If we aren't eating or drinking?
If we aren't doing something to the glory of God, are we sinning?
I would say that might be a definition of sin.
Okay, and then part two, are atheists sinning when they're not doing things to the glory of God? So if we have an atheist at Special Olympics volunteers or donating blood, etc.
I would think atheists have bigger problems than whether their works at the Special Olympics are categorized as sin or not. And I think it's a helpful question. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So a non-Christian cannot do good works in that sense. But I think Luther wrote about what he called two kinds of righteousness. And people, even who don't know Jesus, when they do nice things for people, that's a civic righteousness, which we should encourage in them. But that doesn't avail before God, and that doesn't make you righteous before God. When atheists or non-Christians do good works, it is a proof that they do have an understanding of right and wrong. And that is something we can use to speak the law to them. They know when they've sinned. They may not use that word. They know when they've fallen short of any expectations, and we can use that to make them realize that they have fallen short and possibly do need a Savior. Actually, they do need a Savior, but they don't always know that.
Quick final question here at St. John's. What's your name? Where are you from?
Rob Jarvis from Morris, Minnesota. Broadcasting on KKOK out of Morris, Minnesota next week. Anyway, as we talk about good works, and we consider what our Lord has said as a summary of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. I would wonder, do they consider, and I guess I'm speaking about evangelicals, because some of them I'm sure think that they are keeping all the commandments. Do they consider this a command that is applicable to them? And if so, how do they get around it?
The command to love the Lord your God with all your heart?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure they think it's applicable to them, and I don't think they do get around it in the sense of try to avoid it or ignore it. There may be a tendency, whether you're evangelical or just Lutheran or anything, there's a tendency to take God's law and try to make it easier than it really is and say, oh, I think, you know, like the rich young lawyer that came to Jesus and said, I think I've done that pretty well. And we overestimate our capabilities, and that's a weakness of all Christians, but it may be a weakness of that particular Christian system, evangelicalism.
Well, that kind of leads us to a quick final question then, Pastor Preuss. Does God grade on a curve?
No, he doesn't grade on the curve. He expects, be thou perfect, as I, the Lord thy God, am imperfect. So 100% is a passing grade to God. And unless you have 100% by your own efforts, you need somebody to take the test for you. And that would be Jesus Christ, our Savior.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to receive a free complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, or to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Travis in Colorado and Bob in Texas, if you would give us a call back or email us back with your information, I'd like to send you a copy of this book called The Fire and the Staff by our guest tonight, Pastor Clement Preuss. I remember one time someone saying to me, and this was someone I trusted implicitly to be a good theologian, a scriptural, Bible-based theologian, they said, you know, we're saved by good works. And my eyes kind of widened and my eyebrows went up. And I thought, surely this person must be kidding. But he wasn't. He said, we are saved by good works. I said, what in the world do you mean? He said, well, we are saved by good works, just not ours. We're saved by the good works of someone else. In fact, that's what Jesus was doing here when he took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and lived a life of perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed before God and men for 30 years and then gave his life sacrificially, that perfect life laid down at the cross for us sinners. He was saving us by his works. It is the works of Jesus Christ, the perfect works of Jesus Christ, that seal our salvation, that make our salvation and our position before God as forgiven and redeemed and right, absolutely and unequivocally certain. There can be no greater obedience than the obedience that Christ rendered to his Father for us. There can be no greater works, and they were good, they were perfect in obedience to God's perfect demands that Jesus rendered to the Father for us in his perfect life and his death and his resurrection. Yeah, we're saved by works. Jesus works at the cross for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.